Then we kick back and relax in the evenings.
The Biz 1440, KYCR Golden Valley.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Correspondent Norman Hull reports on President Biden's new student loan relief plan.
People familiar with the plan say it will cover new categories of borrowers. The unveiling will come nearly a year after the Supreme Court foiled his administration's first attempt to cancel debt for millions who attended college. Biden will detail the plan in Madison, Wisconsin, on the flagship campus of the University of Wisconsin.
That is Norman Hull reporting. America's employers added 303,000 workers to their payrolls last month, but are those numbers all they appear to be? And we get more on that from Heritage Foundation public finance economist E.J. Antonio.
Full-time jobs. On net, we're actually losing full-time jobs. We lost several thousand last month. We gained almost 700,000 part-time jobs.
This is SRN News.
When addiction takes hold, it's easy to feel like no one can help. But you're not in this alone. For 75 years, Hazelden Betty Ford has been at the forefront of addiction and mental health care, evolving treatment, reimagining recovery, and breaking through barriers to help families everywhere find healing. So please reach out at hazeldenbettyford.org. Help is here. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation and aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. I'm Brandon Tatum. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now, or visit dependonam.com for more information. Message and data rates may apply, and you may text STOP to STOP.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Turn all the lights on and kill the noise. The Biz 1440 presents the best 2 hours of economic news and commentary.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
It's the King Banyan Show, your source for penetrating economic insight, razor-sharp analysis, and unflinching universal thought.
The process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go and is likely to be bumpy.
Everything you need to maintain clarity and stay ahead of the economic curve.
If you're going
to
fix complicated problems, you have to learn how to fix simple problems first.
Now, here's Professor King Banyan.
Good morning and welcome. King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. It's Job Saturday here on the King Banyan Show. And I apparently ticked off somebody last night as I thought about this thing. I hope you listened to the top of the show and heard the news at the top. We had analysts. I didn't pick up the name. From the Heritage Foundation, very well respected think tank in Washington, tends to be right of center, and the argument being that all the jobs are part-time jobs. I want to talk about that and say, okay, how does that happen? And I have a thread on the website on Twitter. Excuse me, X, formerly known as Twitter, using the hashtag #KBRS. You can find the tweets that we put out there. But I have a thread, a shorty thread, five, six posts long, to try to explain what the heck that number is. And someone says, you seem quite obsessed about this thing. I can't understand why. And I wanted to say, well, if you've been following me for the last 14 years, you'd probably know that data geekery is the world in which I live. I marinate in the juices of the jobs report month after month. And either you're brand new to this show and this X account and so forth, or you're just not really willing to engage in any serious thought. But you, dear listener, are. It's why you come here. It's why I always want to say, first and foremost, thank you. I always know you have choices. There are all kinds of things to listen to on the radio and on the internet. And you're choosing to make that time for me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. If you're listening to us live on the Biz 1440, 651-289-4477, the number to call with questions and comments, 651-289-4477. So this gets to some of what I was talking about last week, and I also wanted to, at the top of the show, thank you. I got wonderful feedback from several of you about the second hour of last week's show, and I think we'll continue to do this for a little while. Got wonderful feedback concerning, you know, that fifth week, the fifth Saturday of the month, that second hour is usually a place where I can do just about anything I want. It is not that something I normally schedule, like Job Saturday. And the feedback to doing sort of a long thought piece about the state of economics and what's happened recently with the retirement, and the kind of well-announced, well-discussed, and digested retirement of Steve Levitt, and the passing away of Danny Kahneman, and what he brought to the field of economics as an outsider, as a psychologist. And I really encourage you to go to TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com and listen to that hour. If you're like, oh, I missed that, you have a chance to go and listen to it at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com. I encourage you, because I'd like to do some of that, and I'm thinking through how I might want to do it, because it's both very entertaining, but I have to say, constraining it within the parameters of terrestrial radio is one of those things that I sometimes struggle with. There are some topics that I really want to do, but don't take up 45 minutes. Which is about how much time we actually speak. And then there are other times where 45 minutes is certainly not enough. I used to teach courses that would go for 3 hours, and I used to have students who would raise their hand like, yes, and they'd say, it's been 2 hours. We've been sitting here, and some of us really need to use the restroom. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay, go. And come back. In the old days, they used to actually ask for a break. They'd go get a cigarette. That's no longer possible on public university campuses. But you know, I'm trying to think through what that's going to look like going forward. So I'm thinking about those things, but I want to thank you. I got some wonderful email. If you didn't email me, go to the website and use the address that's there. It's kind of meant for people who interact with the show. So please reach out to me through that. So the jobs numbers, look, there's not many ways to say it. It was a really solid report. And I understand in a political season, in an election year, presidential election year, everyone's going to take the numbers and try to spin them into their preferred sort of the economy's great or the economy stinks. We don't do that on this show. It's one reason why we do this show over here on the Biz 1440. And I don't do much in the way of news talk anymore, because I don't want to get caught up in that. I just want to give you the straight skinny about what's happening in the economy. So in this place where I talk about a pandemic economy that is still influenced by the pandemic, the mother of all shocks. And yes, much of the shock that happened was a choice that policymakers made back in 2020, broadly put. And those, and what's wonderful is the world had many responses to COVID, and some of those responses were, you know, worked out in different ways. Some, you know, if you think about the trade, you know, the question was, is there a real trade-off between the amount of sickness that will happen and how much you try to stop the spread by stopping economic activity? We had a wonderful, we had a wonderful array of different responses, which allowed us to sort of see what did that trade-off really look like. And I think what we thought the trade-off was and what the trade-off turned out to be are different, and we don't spend much time talking about that. One of the things that did happen here in the United States was we took a lot of service sector employment in the early part of 2020, and we said, that's got to stop for a while. We can't have people manufacturing. We can't have services where there is human interaction. We had an explosion of places developing robotics. We had an explosion of businesses whose employees had asked, is it possible for me to work from home 1 or 2 days a week to manage my childcare or my mental health, or just it's Friday and I don't want to really have to get in a car and drive to work. And that answer had been no for many businesses. And all of a sudden in March of 2020, it was like, well, okay, for this little bit of time, that's fine. And businesses have changed how they come back from that, right? So all of those things happened in 2020. I lay this all down as predicate to a lot of the observations that we see. Think about from 2020, what industries were most affected by the restrictions that happened in the U.S. and in many other countries in 2020. Leisure and hospitality, the closing of restaurants and bars, hotels, people not willing to get on planes, which just looked like a gigantic germ factory and could only be used if you took a series of precautions that made the trip really unpleasant. Okay, if you flew on a plane in 2020, you know just how, you know, in the second half of 2020, you know just how truly awful the experience was. It was not fun, and people didn't do that. Other leisure activities like getting on a ship for a cruise, or going to a favorite resort, maybe in the Caribbean or in the South Pacific. Those were all off. Okay. But we could go to other places. How many of us had things that we would have normally gone to the hospital for, types of help, types of surgery? I will say I started to develop some problems with one of my joints in my leg. And by the way, I now have multiple of those because aging stinks. But I had a problem with one, and it's like, do I want to go to the doctor's office and get this looked at? Oh, no, I don't. I really don't want to go there. And so used a bunch of different remedies for that. Lots of elective surgeries got put off. So that meant that those service areas, leisure and hospitality, healthcare, education, where we decided, and I would argue in many cases, we overreacted to the threat to children, or maybe what we were reacting to was the discomfort teachers had of having children in a room with them, where the person who really was at risk was not the kid, it was the teacher. And misperception perhaps of that risk. don't really want to talk about all that. That's really not the point. The point is we stopped a lot of economic activity, but in specific sectors. This growth in employment that we've seen since the summer of 2020 has been an unwinding of those positions, returning back to the relationships that were there in 2019. People who focus, I think, on what the data looked like over the last 3 months, the last 6 months, the last 12 months, are missing a very important part of the story. Not that those numbers aren't important. They are. In some places, I think the inflation numbers at 3, 6, 12 months are valuable numbers to look at. The employment growth numbers at 3, 6, 12 months are important. But it's also important to think about where was that in 2019? Where were we in the cycle back then compared to where we are right now? And part of the story I want to tell you this hour is that comparison as applied to this one particular number that a lot of the conservative media glommed onto that we heard in the news at the top of the hour. I didn't know that was going to be there, obviously. It just happened to be there, and I'm like, well, that just happens to be what I'm talking about. We seem to be being fooled. We seem to be being fooled by what's happening in the market, fooled by what's happening in the last few months or even the last 2-3 years. If you choose to keep 2019 out of the analysis, you're going to miss something important. And that, you know, and so maybe the title of this hour will be, don't forget 2019. 651-289-4477, the number to call with questions and comments. We'll have John on the line right after these messages. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
To the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. BearingArms.com covers Second Amendment issues, self-defense, the latest gear, and more. That's BearingArms.com.
Would you buy a brand new furnace and heat pump today if it were half price? We have one brand new Rheem furnace and heat pump from GTS HVAC Inc., and we're selling it for half price. You get a new furnace and heat pump installed valued at $16,000 for just $8,000. Hurry, there's only one available. Call the station for details at 651-405-8800 or find it online at am1280thepatriot.com/half-off or email office@salemtc.com. All available rebates and tax credits apply.
Would you like the option to provide your child with a Christian education, but think it's too expensive? Explore Twin Cities Tuitions, our innovative half-off tuition program, which partners with local Christian pre-K through 12th grade schools, turning the desire for Christian education into a reality for over 150 families in the Twin Cities. Visit TwinCitiesTuitions.com to see participating schools like Holy Spirit Academy, Avail Academy, Liberty Classical Academy, and many more. Go to TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
Looking to make a difference? Volunteer for your local fire department. Join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Visit MakeMeAFirefighter.org.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Thank you for being with us today. 651-289-4477, the number to call with questions and comments, where we find John this morning. And good morning, John. How are you?
Oh, very good. Good morning. Thank you. I noticed, remember last week you mentioned that St. Cloud State's rival in sports was Mankato State, and they... Mankato State did very good in both men's and women's basketball. In there.
Yeah, congratulations to the Mavs, man. I think it's only happened two other times in history where the men's and women's team in the same sport win the national championship at the same time.
Right, that was great.
Year.
What I wanted to ask you about is this. This past week, there was a day when the markets in the morning were up, you know, the Dow and stuff, where they were up about 120 points. And then what I heard was that the chair of the Federal Reserve for Minneapolis, his last name starts with a K.
Neil Kashkari.
Kashkari. He came out and made a public statement of the effect that he thought maybe there wouldn't be any rate decreases in the next year. And the markets just totally tumbled. The Dow ended up down over like 500 points. Everything switched after he said that. I was just curious what you thought about that. And, you know, does someone like that have that much, you know, strength that the markets will act on his opinion like that?
Well, you wouldn't think so. So, I mean, there's two things about that. President Kashkari both has been probably certainly one of the most hawkish members of the FOMC. So, I mean, I don't think it was very newsworthy to think that he was one of the two people who said they didn't want a rate cut in 2024 in his dot plot, which is basically what he said. And then the other part of it, John, is he doesn't vote. He's not a voting member this year. So his opinion is no more than just his opinion. So I thought it was odd, John, that they would do that. But what does that tell us is, I think, your question. And I think what it tells us is that the market is still investing heavily based on the presumption that rate cuts are going to happen at some time later this year. And it's not clear to me why that would be true. I'm going to play some cuts later for us to discuss that. But I do think the overall tenor of what I hear, you know, both yesterday after the jobs report, but in the week running up to yesterday, was that you had Fed officials, including Kashkari, saying, look, don't get out ahead of yourselves. We haven't decided to cut rates yet. I've got a Bloomberg article that I pulled up to maybe talk about today from Lori Logan from the Dallas Fed. Michelle Bowman was out, one of the governors. Adriana Kugler, another governor, was out. Both of them, well, Kugler was maybe a little more in the mind of rate cuts might come later in the year. But they've been throwing a whole lot of cold water on the idea that rate cuts are going to come at the May meeting, or even now, I think, even at the June meeting. And I just don't see that as being very likely. The numbers have moved around quite a bit, but right now on the June forecast, it's a 50-50 on whether rates come down in June and in July. It's it's basically, you know, there's a one in three chance that they don't even cut in July. If they don't cut in July, they're not cutting until November. So anyway, John, thanks for the call. And I appreciate you calling in. And yes, congratulations to Mankato. That's just that. I mean, I'll tell you what, I was talking to somebody from Mankato earlier this week and made the joke, if the athletic director isn't asking for a raise this week, it's malpractice. Because you don't get better weeks as running an athletic department than having two national championships in the same sport within 24 hours. 651-289-4477, the number that that John called, and I hope you will as well. So let's just go to the top of the jobs report just to sort of set the table for you. Earlier in the week, we had been told by ADP that their guess was 175,000 jobs in the private sector. If I looked at that ADP report, in fact, let me pull that up for us. If I look at that ADP report, and this is one of the things I really wanted to spend some time reflecting on, is where the jobs were happening. Job growth was happening, you know, again, in large businesses, but also in small ones. Businesses with less than 20 workers that use ADP as their payroll service provider were estimated to have gained 27,000 jobs in March. But if I dig in, right, manufacturing added next to no jobs. Construction added 33,000 jobs. But to get into where the big gains were, leisure and hospitality, 63,000 jobs, okay? Education and health services, 17,000 jobs. Trade, transportation, utility, including the retail sector, 29,000 jobs. That was the Wednesday number in that headline number, not 175, 184 was the number, 175 was the guess. So that number came in right on expectation, okay? And if private sector is estimated to do 184, and if you just said, let me take the ADP number and plus it up for public sector employment, you'd have had a number at like 210, 212, you know, maybe even up to 220, 225. So when the number printed at 303 yesterday morning, Friday morning, the reaction around the market was like, what the heck is going on? What is that about? So let's dig in to see what that was. If I go in those payroll data, healthcare added 72,000 jobs. I'm going to compare those again. Health and education was estimated to have added 17,000 jobs, but according to BLS, they registered 72,000 jobs instead, adding 28,000 in ambulatory healthcare services. So minute clinics and such. Hospitals gained 27,000. Nursing homes gained 18,000, et cetera. Leisure and hospitality added 49 versus the ADP estimate of 63. Think to yourself for a second. What kinds of jobs happen in leisure and hospitality? Two aspects, right? One, many of them tend to be part-time. Two, many of them tend to be lower wage. If you go back in the archive of this show and just pull up all the job Saturdays, so it's usually the first Saturday of the month, if you pull up the last three or four, I've emphasized this point for you time and time again. What you get in terms of the wage numbers will be influenced by what kinds of jobs got added on net in the month. So when you have a big ad on leisure and hospitality, a big ad on hospitals, which, yeah, there are doctors that are making six-figure incomes, but there's a whole lot of assistants and LPNs and such that are not making high wages there. When you add those jobs into the marketplace, they are a depressor of the wage number that you get in the jobs report. So there was a lot of emphasis yesterday by the talking heads on the, and I have several talking heads for you to listen to, about what happened on jobs and the, you know, in terms of wages being, well, that'll be good for us. But it's like you're not comparing apples and apples. You're taking an aggregate number to which you've added a whole lot of people in industries that typically pay lower wages. And you had next to no add on manufacturing. You had a small, let me find that number on construction. You added 39,000 jobs. The ADP number was pretty close to that there. And that's a big add. And that kind of helped the number quite a bit. But here's the basic point I want to make. When I hear stories in the, particularly in the conservative media, about job gains being, oh, those are part-time jobs. No. Those are not. These were not the jobs you were looking for. Okay, I heard this during when we've had Republican presidents, all the way back to Ronald Reagan. Who remembers the phrase "McJobs"? What's a McJob? A McJob is a job at a fast food place that pays lousy wages. Okay, instead of saying the wages are bad, what we're saying, what the current spin is that, well, those jobs don't have enough hours. They're not really full-time work. So those aren't real jobs. Those are fakey jobs. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm calling fiddlesticks on that one. Okay, or one of my favorite phrases from the late great Nobel laureate Douglas North. Doug used to say, "Well, that's just a whole lot of apple butter." And I'm going to say this part-time job story. I'm sorry, it's the McJobs thing all over again. It was apple butter then, and it's apple butter now. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on the Biz 1440.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own, whether it's for your personal system or business. Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. I watched a guy play some old steel guitar last night. Wasn't a very well-attended concert, I'm sorry to say, because, boy, that guy was just loving his guitars. It's a pleasure to watch somebody really do great things. Much of this music, it was interesting because normally this is a folk. The Granite City Folk Society put this on, but this fellow did more blues and boogie, and I thought in the middle of it, it's like, I wish Spencer and John were here. That they would love this. He lives in Shoreview, so I mean, my hope is they'll get to hear him sometime. Artist name is Mike Dowling. He's mid-70s and does really fantastic stuff. A lot of fun. So anyway, I hope, and it's gonna be a good year. I mean, and this kind of gets to the point. You're getting to see more and more concerts being done where, you know, they'll talk about, well, here's what I did during COVID. I did this, I did that. You know what? Last night, this fella didn't mention it once. It's probably the first time in 3 years where I heard a concert done by someone who didn't talk about, well, during COVID, I wrote this song, or during COVID, I was trying something different, or, you know, and relating it to that. We're not yet, but slowly getting to the point where that's in the rearview mirror. And my point last night was in posting this thread was to get people to think about the entire way in which we think about part-time work. And so I want to make this point to you. I've got lots of clips to play, but I'm going to save many of them for hour two, because I don't want to lose this particular thought with you. Which is this. Sometimes people work part-time because they can't find full-time work. Sometimes they work part-time because they don't want a full-time job for a variety of reasons. Right? So what I did in this thread, you can go back last night, and it's okay, I posted it about 10 o'clock last night with the hashtag #KBRS about, and I had been asked the question on Twitter in the morning about the part-time story, because it came out so fast, I am relatively sure that somebody out there, I don't know who, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, because this happens all the time, regardless of which party's in power or so forth. You have prepackaged spin or bullet points or talking points for whatever the job report is. You get the job report, you quickly make sure that it doesn't look too stupid based on what the actual data shows, and then you shotgun it out to your mailing list, and you hope to generate, you know, some media based on what your talking points are. This part-time thing it's been there for a while, and it's been put in there. But I want to make sure you understand this particular point. All right. When you get the jobs, when you get a, when the
current population survey is done by, it's actually done by the Census Bureau on the behalf of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, because the Census Bureau keeps all of the software and has the workers who actually do the phone call survey, because the population survey is calling households. BLS is using records that are submitted with Social Security taxes to do the payroll number. Okay, so here's the question, right? How many hours per week do you usually work at your job? Right? And you can, and it'll answer either 35 or more hours, and 35 is the cutoff to be considered full-time. Not 40, 35. If they give you a number of 34 or more, and they'll be asked, do you want to work a full-time work week of 35 hours or more per week? There's a yes and a no to that question. And then you're asked this question. If you said you don't want to work full-time for 35 hours a week or more, obviously you are working part-time voluntarily. And then they are asked, what's the reasons why you do not want to work full-time? Child care? Other family personal problems? Health or medical limitations? School or training? Retired or responding to the Social Security limit on earnings? You're working a job that's full-time, but full-time in your business is considered less than 35 hours a week, or other, and they'll actually ask you what the other is. If you're in one of those, if you say you don't want to work full-time, and you've categorized yourself in one of these buckets, even with the open-ended, you're always considered part-time for non-economic reasons. If you say instead you do want to work full-time, you do want to work a job more than 35 hours, then the surveyor, the caller, asks you this question. Some people work part-time because they cannot find full-time work because business is poor. Others work part-time because of family obligations or other personal reasons. What is your main reason for working part-time? If they give you one of the other answers that relate to family obligations or personal reasons, then you're also going to be categorized as as part-time for non-economic reasons. You then are compared to, but if you say there's not enough work out there, I can't find full-time work, I can only find part-time, or you say my work is seasonal, and so I'm working part-time because I'm out of season right now, then you're considered, and then you get asked one more question. If you give them a reason that is economic, you then ask, last week, could you have worked full-time if the hours had been available? If you answer that one yes, and you answered the previous questions of slack work, or you could only find part-time, or your work is seasonal, now and only now are you considered part-time for economic reasons. Otherwise, you're considered part-time for non-economic reasons. The picture that I have there is from the technical documentation for the CPS that I put there, and I encourage you to look at it to make sure you've understood why that's there. If I go and look at the data and I say, why are you answering, why did you get that? This is an article from 2018 from the BLS, and they said the number one reason for part-time is schooling. Most of the people who give you the non-economic reason are college students, maybe at a technical college or at a university like ours, and they're working part-time on the side, right? That's the number one reason, and about 30% of all the people who say not economic reason are college students. 13% responded that it's the Social Security limit. They're retired people who are working but not trying not to earn too much, because then they're going to get their Social Security taxed and they don't want that. So they respond to for that reason. And you can go through. I actually put the link there. You can read the table to see who's in what buckets here. But the point that I wanted to make is this. During the COVID pandemic, the number of people who were part-time for non-economic reasons plunged. Like it dropped it dropped from about I'm going to pull up this graphic, from 22 million all the way down to less than 13 million. That isn't because people stopped wanting to work part-time because they worked full-time. No, it was because most of the places where people work part-time are in retail trade and leisure and hospitality. That's a very big, it's not entirely, there are people in other areas. But if you said, what share of them are in retail? What share of them are in leisure and hospitality? What share of them are in hospitals? Or serving as attendants in a nursing home, et cetera. That was the big number. And if you look at those data rise and then fall during a recession, but they don't start, they start falling before a recession happens, but they've been on this long run incline of rising from 12 to 16 to 18 by the mid 1990s to 20 million by the great financial crisis. And before the pandemic, we're at 22 million. They're now at what? They're about 23 million. Have we added some? Yeah. But if you were to look at that line and say, what's the general trend? The trend's been up for over 30 years. And I'm going to use this. It seems impolite for me to say this. But the spin that was there was taking advantage, was hiding the fact that the number of people working part-time for those reasons has been rising dramatically over this entire period. It has been rising for 30 years. And this more exaggerated gain in the last 3 years is all pandemic. In the number of people working part-time for economic reasons, you know, that the economy is soft, is flat. It hasn't risen at all. All right? So I don't understand the point they're trying to make, and I actually think it was fun and games with numbers and a whole lot of apple butter. I'll be back right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz, 1440.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now, a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. This is where, for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
I'm Scott from the History Unplugged podcast. History can be a bit of a tongue twister with its weird sounding names of people, places, and things, but it really isn't that confusing. History is the story of who we are and how we comport ourselves while soaring to victory in battles over forts, seaports, and cities that fortunately thwarted the schemes of villains and their blood sports, like the 1415 Battle of Agincourt. It's about legal battles in courts, about the contortion of torts over the retorts of consorts that turned into kangaroo courts. I exhort you to listen to History Unplugged on the podcast player of your choice, and you can listen to it while wearing shirts, shorts, skirts, skorts, or jean jorts.
The Ramsey Show.
Mama's gonna be just fine when you die, financially speaking. I'm sure she'll cry. My wife is actually planning my death, and it's got me very concerned. My estate plan is predicating on me predeceasing her, and I don't know how she knows that.
The Biz 1440, weekdays 1 to 4.
GodTube.com. Inspiration, comedy, music, faith, and fun. Get the best of GodTube every morning and start your day with a smile. Great faith-based videos sent to your inbox daily when you subscribe at GodTube.com, a division of Salem Media Group.
Just about a year ago, I said,
welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. I look at the clock and I'm like, oh my gosh, you've been talking a lot, buddy. You got to play some other voices here. Well, you could add your voice, 651-289-4477, 651-289-4477, with questions and comments. Nathan Sheets reading the jobs report, right, probably about an hour after it release. I've kind of stopped doing something I used to do, which was to get the talking heads reacting immediately after the jobs report. I noticed CNBC has stopped having the six boxes with the talking heads as the jobs report comes out at 7:30 Central. They've stopped that. I think that's fantastic. It makes me think that they've realized that they were not doing any favors to good journalism there. But Nathan Sheets is the chief global economist for Citibank, or Citi now, I guess, Citigroup, and had this to say. Let's play cut number six.
I would say that the one silver lining in terms of the actual data for the Fed is that the reading on average hourly earnings was quite restrained at 0.3. You know, that annualizes to somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5% wage growth, and the Fed's not going to be overly concerned about wage growth at that pace.
And again, I get a little concerned when people try to use that number on a one-month basis, not recognizing, at least to me, not acknowledging that it's heavily influenced. You get a 0.2 or 0.3 or 0.4, right? That is influenced by the mix of new jobs being added to the economy. So I prefer to use wage trackers to tell me what's happening to the cost of labor for the same business year after year, finding a way to look at the same worker time and again, look at the difference between job stayers versus job switchers like the Atlanta Fed does. I prefer that kind of data to just looking at average hourly earnings. But yeah, that was the other big theme out there was, hey, we got room to reduce rates because, hey, take a look at this. We don't have we got a nice 0.3 on the jobs on average hourly earnings. Sheets continues. It should be cut seven.
Is that we're seeing an ongoing shift out in the labor supply curve.
Stop. That's the wrong. I must have the wrong number, the wrong numbers. I'll have to go back and look. But maybe it's the other cut from Sheets. Is that cut five instead? Let's try cut five.
So it's great to see the jobs.
Nope, stop there. There must be only one cut there for Sheets. I must have missed that one. Okay.
Anyway, 651-289-4477. The other thing that I saw, and I don't want you to get the impression that I don't like it when talking heads go out and start manipulating data. We all do it. And it's important. I actually like the way this was done. Brian Westbury at First Trust, who I follow pretty carefully. You know, if you look at over the last year, actually average hourly earnings, he said 3.5%. Yeah, 3.5% if you throw out a bunch of numbers from the beginning, from the first part of 2023. But over the last 12 months, wage inflation has been at 4.1%. That's part of what I think the Fed needs to look at. If you take out government employment, okay, and just look at the private sector, and then remove the education and health sectors, because A, it's not cyclical, for one thing, and secondly, there's a lot of structural stuff happening there that is not really related to what's happening in the economy at all. And then set aside the leisure and hospitality and understand there's a lot of swing in the month-to-month numbers that is coming out of these hospitality, these jobs that are admittedly, right, they're part-time jobs, but they're part-time jobs, but it's just a signal telling you about what's happening in leisure and hospitality by and large. If you take that out, Brian observes that this core measure of payroll was up 95,000 in March, 61,000 per month over the last year. Well, that's not a bad number. But he, too, is getting fooled by this full-time versus part-time thing. And I actually don't think it's necessarily what you mean, because that drop in full-time employment, I think by and large is simply the fact that baby boomers are retiring out, and many of the jobs coming in behind them are still happening in leisure and hospitality and retail and so forth, which are more likely to be part-time jobs. So I think that's the impact of demographics. I don't really think that's what Brian says it is, but I do like this idea of manipulating to look at key sectors like construction, manufacturing, and so forth. We'll be back with more of the jobs report right after this. You are listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
And paid for by America First Tax Group. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems and all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-240-4917 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-240-4917. That's 800-240-4917. Again, 800-240-4917.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel, home to the biggest shows on TV, like Hugh Hewitt weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, followed by Mike Gallagher at 9. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community.
Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
The Ramsey Show.
I don't want to be the little pig in the straw house anymore. I'm going to get my crap together. I'm going to get out of debt and have an emergency fund. I'm going to be the little pig in the brick house so when the wolf comes and blows, I don't have credit card debt. I don't have student loan debt. I don't have car payments. I'm under control and I got a pile of money. You know what would happen?
The economy would collapse!
No, it wouldn't. The economy would boom.
No-nonsense financial talk. Weekday afternoons from 1 to 4 here on The Biz 1440.
Common ground for the first-time investor.